بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will continue discussing selected malfuzat of Hazrat Mujaddid al-Millat Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayh. And inshallah tonight we discuss one malfuz of Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayh, where he discusses laws regarding calamities and distress. Hazrat says a person should adopt sabr, patience and perseverance when caught in a calamity. This is the appropriate conduct of a mu'min. Person should adopt sabr, that is patience and perseverance when caught in a calamity. This is the appropriate conduct of a believer. A hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the condition of a mu'min is wonderful. When goodness, prosperity reaches him, he makes shukr, he is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He offers thanks unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a calamity befalls him, he adopts sabr. Both these attitudes are beneficial unto him. In the case of goodness, he is rewarded for his shukr. In the case of calamity, he is rewarded for his sabr. Thus, both these conditions are beneficial. So we have discussed many times before the aspect of sabr. In this particular one, Azad is talking about as-sabru ala al-musibah. When some calamity befalls a person, whether it's illness, whether it's somebody passes away from the family or friend, so any musibah, he loses some business, he suffers some loss, Allah Ta'ala protect us. But what should a person do? Some calamity has come upon him, so Allah says he should adopt sabr. He should be patient. And he gave the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that for a believer, some calamity befalls him, he makes sabr, and for sabr he will be rewarded. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah Ta'ala says, those who have sabr, Allah Ta'ala, or they are rewarded, they are given so much of thawab, بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, which is no limit, limitless. Allah gives them so much of sawab in the akhirat because of the sabr that they exercise. So either some good falls comes to a person or some calamity. If good falls, or good comes to the person, then he makes shukr. And if he makes shukr, then he gets close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some calamity befalls him, he makes sabr. And then in the sabr also he gains proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for a mu'min, there are just two conditions. Sabr and shukr. Sabr and shukr. His entire life. There will be times when he'll have to make sabr. There will be times when he'll make so much of shukr. Hazrat then mentions, when in a calamity, person is experiencing some musibat now, do not become despondent of the mercy of Allah. So first we explained that either shukr or sabr. Now we're talking about sabr, some calamity. So by making sabr, remember you're going to be rewarded. So that's one point. Second one, he says that when in a calamity, do not become despondent of the mercy of Allah. Many times some musibat comes upon us and we feel this is the end of the world. Like he has mentioned another malfuz, when somebody asked him, one person said to Hazrat, I experienced so much difficulties and problems that if suicide was permissible, then undoubtedly I would have done it. I experienced so much of difficulties and problems. We must make shukr Allah Ta'ala does not test us through so many difficulties. But there are many people that it seems as though after one difficulty, another musibat, and this goes wrong and that is going wrong. So what happens? The person says, if it was permissible to commit suicide, I would have done it. Hazrat then replied, he says, if difficulties and problems were bad, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have placed them on Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam. The Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam were the most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah SAW mentioned in the hadith, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاء. The Anbiya experienced the most musibat, most tests, most trials, most tribulations. ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ. Then those who come after Anbiya in rank, those in closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awliya, the friends of Allah, then those lower them, it continues. So the more closer you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more greater the trial and tribulation will be. Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam, we talk about Sabru Ayyub. From all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, we talk about the Sabr of Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam, which we mentioned before, that he has been through such sickness, for such a long period of his life. Imagine just lying there, you can't do anything. And your body, you are in pain, you are suffering. So Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam made so much of Sabr. So the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, they also went through trials and tribulations, and severe trials and tribulations. If musibat, calamity, disasters, and difficulties and tribulations were something bad, then Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam would not have been pleased with those or tested with such tribulations. As we said, yes, you should ask for peace and protection. In other words, we always ask for afiyat. There was an incident of one person, a sahabi, who was very, very ill, and Rasulullah goes to visit him, and he sees his condition, that he is shaking, he is trembling. Upon inquiry, this sahabi said, I ask Allah Ta'ala to give me sabr. In other words, without any trial coming upon him, he just made dua, Allah, you grant me sabr. And therefore he suffered this illness, and now he had to exercise the sabr. Rasulullah prohibited him. He said, no, don't ask for sabr when there's no calamity coming. In other words, now you're inviting a trial upon you. Always ask Allah for afiyat, protection from all calamities. Yes, if you are faced with a musibat, then this is what you must do. You must make sabr, persevere, etc. So he said, yes, you should ask for peace and protection, there is afiyat. But if a difficulty comes your way, then you should adopt patience, sabr, and be pleased with your fate. Whatever taqdeer, whatever has been destined for you, you must be happy with it. Have faith, have yaqeen, that Allah Ta'ala is hakim. He is the ruler. The ruler does as he wishes. And Allah at the same time is hakim, one who is full with wisdom. One who is wise, the most wise. One who has got wisdom. So Allah is hakim. He does as he pleases, but at the same time he is hakim. He knows why he is doing that. A wise person will not do an irrational thing. A wise person will think before he does something. So you won't find he makes any rash decisions or makes any silly things happen. A wise person ponders, he reflects, he thinks, he looks at the outcome. And he knows why he's doing this. Allah is most wise. So whilst Allah is hakim, he's the ruler, and nobody can question him, and he does as he wishes and he pleases, at the same time you won't find the action of Allah Ta'ala without any wisdom. The action of Allah Ta'ala is not such, there's no wisdom in it. So Allah is hakim, he's the ruler and hakim, one with wisdom. And focus your gaze on him. So any musibat come, focus your gaze upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So coming back to this malfuz, that when in calamity, do not become despondent of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep on hoping for his grace and kindness. For there is also something else above the adoption of the means. There is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You adopted all the means that was possible. Person is sick, obviously, he'll adopt the means, he'll take medication, go to the doctor, and various other means he will apply. But if nothing is coming right, then you still do not lose hope. Do not lose hope. Because above all means is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even if the means are not working, you still have ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one who does not believe in taqdeer, he will utter words of despondency. The method of the pious ones is rida bil qada. They always are happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah has decided, bas, I am happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they remain pleased with taqdeer at all times. See, it was going to happen. Allah decided this, so I accept it. So when a person accepts the taqdeer, and he accepts it and he's pleased, ridha bil qada, Allah decided this for me. There's nothing I can do about it. Yes, adopt the means. If it works, well and good. Doesn't work, then Allah has decided for me. He's got something better for me in store. He's testing me. I have to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I cannot complain against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I cannot question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I cannot lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we accept the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these things gives us the ilaj, the remedy, gives us hope, gives us strength. That if we are faced with such a thing, what do we do? First one, Rasulullah said, ponder over the hadith. Umar Tanil mentioned, ponder over the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you make sabr and you get abundant sawab for it. And second one, do not lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be happy. For whatever reason Allah has decided this to come upon me, I am happy. It is my Allah's decision. Then he says, because of the calamity, this is very, very common. Most of us fall into this. He says, because of the calamity, do not become negligent with regard to the commands of Sharia. Some musibah comes upon us. Many instances, instead of becoming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we were reading salat before, now suddenly we discard that salat. We lose all hope, and now we become negligent with regard to Sharia. Person who's reading namaz, now he becomes ill, but he's not so ill that he's unable to perform salat. So now he says, no, I'm not well, I'm not performing salat. I'm not going to make zikr. I'm not reading my yasin and my duas. Who will lose out? The person himself. So he's not passing this test. He's failing this test. So because of the calamity, Hazrat Thani Ramal says, do not become negligent with regard to the commands of Sharia. Then he says, continuously make dua for the removal of the calamity. Continuously make dua for the removal of the calamity. Also adopt the ways and means of removing it. But do not consider the means as the ultimate. So two things. Hazrat says that dua and dawa. Both. You make, Ya Allah, remove this musibat. Ya Allah, remove the musibat. Person is sick now. He's making dua. Ya Allah, remove this illness. Remove this illness. And this is the correct thing to do. First you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You focus your gaze upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah has kept us in darul asbab. This dunya is the place of means. Allah has created means. You need to go from Durban to Johannesburg. You can't just stand outside and expect to just hop on to just go away, just like that. You have to either fly, or you take a car, or bus, or whatever. You've got to go by some transport. So Allah has given us the means. Allah wants us to adopt those means. So you'll make dua, and you've got to take the dawa as well. Look for the right means. Person is sick, you go to the doctor. So continuously make dua for the removal of the calamity. Also adopt the ways and means of removing it. But the difference is, when you're using the means, don't feel that the means is now going to solve my problem. No. It is only musabbibul asbab, the creator of those means, Allah Ta'ala. That is the thing that will help me. So as the seed, you make dua and adopt the means. Then he says, continuously make istighfar. All this is what, when a person is faced with some musibat, this is what he should do. Dua, adopt the means, and make abundant istighfar. Repent and seek pardon for sins. Sometimes, it is because of our gunas that these trials are coming upon us. And therefore, by making tawbah istighfar, Allah removes that bala. Other times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to test us to see how genuine we are in our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how loyal we are, how sincere we are. And it says, so that we test you so that we know who are the sabireen amongst you, who are those who are perseverant. And Allah ta'ala tests a person to raise his darajat, so he can become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Thani Ramadan says, that make abundant istighfar. Then he says, when seeing another Muslim in a calamity, your Muslim brother is in some musibat, consider it to have befallen upon yourself. So in other words, what Allah says, assist that person and place the means of removing that calamity at his disposal. If you are able to help him, you should try and help the person. Like right now we know in the world, there are so many Muslims who are suffering, especially in Syria. So Hazrat says, what should you do? It is as though that musibah has come upon you. And you, if you had that musibah upon you, Allah save us, and you had the means, what would you do? You adopt the means. Now those people don't have the means. So you try and make those means at their disposal. Just as you would have done if you were caught in such a calamity. So again, person is in musibah, calamity. Think of the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ that now I have to adopt sabr. First thing, musibah comes, you must adopt sabr. And by making sabr, you are going to get abundant reward. بغير حساب, without any limit, unlimited reward you're getting from Allah Ta'ala. So that in itself should make give sufficient solace to the person. Number two, as it says, that do not become despondent of the mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Keep on asking Allah Ta'ala, be hopeful that Allah will make an opening. Person doesn't have some job, some work. The day will come and Allah Ta'ala will make an opening. Person is looking for a wife, can't find. Allah will make the day happen. A person has got some sickness. Even if a person got a deadly disease, even a person has got such a disease, doctors have failed, still there is hope. And great hope. Because above all means is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has shown in this world, not once or twice, billions of times, that everything, all doors were closed and shut. It was impossible to come out of this. And suddenly the person gets that opening. And then number three, because of the calamity, do not become negligent of the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shariat, we still have to abide by shariat. We still have to do whatever Allah commands us. Doesn't mean you've got some musibat now, you've been absolved of all the other aspects of deen. No. Then as it says, make a lot of dua. And adopt the means, dua and dawa. Then make a lot of istighfar, tawbah and istighfar. And if you see anybody else in that musibat, you should try and assist that person. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah. These are all miscellaneous. Malfuzat of Hazrat Thani, I'm not following a specific topic. Sometime on tawbah, sometime shukr, sometime sabr. Sometime we discussed the other day on tawadu, humility. Sometime on pride, sometime on hasad. All these things. You see how simply he explains. These people had complete, they had a deep understanding of Quran, hadith, sharia. Now sometimes we just see one hadith, for example. We don't have the complete meaning or understanding. There's so many other ahadith with it. Or we look at one verse of the Quran, and now we just want to follow that without knowing when we should do it, how we should do it, why we should do it. Therefore these mashayikh had made deen so easy for us to practice upon. A very short malfuz. Hazrat explains acquisition of peace. We want sukoon. He says the less a person acquires of dunya, the more peace he achieves. The more dunya you got, the less sukoon you will have. This is a fact of life. Person has 2-3 shops, he's got this project and that container coming, and he's got this shop and that factory to worry about. He's always bedchain restless. He has to go to that meeting and he's got to get this, and he's gone for holiday then too. He's busy with his cell phone and his internet and his email. Carries on all the time. There's no sukoon. Less dunya you got, the more sukoon you have. You got one shop, for example. You close the shop, you gone home. Or you had your table, you had your wares there. You sold your fruit, finished for the day. Nothing for you to worry about. You don't require any security, no alarm, nothing. Even in akhirat, on the day of qiyamah, the more mal you bring, the more mal of dunya you got now, you have to give hisab kitab. Like when we go overseas and we come, everybody looking for the Maulana, going behind you, as though the Maulana got some special taweez, and everybody will come out, and 2-3 days before the person is returning, hey, Maulana, give some malfu, some wazifa, please, man. We need to come out, you know, brought some extra things. That time everybody's face, you must see everybody looking so worried. And how the person walks through the customs, just scared somebody might call, sir, come this side. On the day of Qiyamah, the more goods you bring of dunya, wait, come on one side. You mentioned the hadith, the poor people of this ummah, the poor people of this ummah, first, gone to Jannat. Why? Nothing much. What have you brought? Oh, nothing, nothing much. Okay, you carry on. Green light for you. وَأَمَّا الْأَغْنِيَا The rich people, مَحْبُوسُون They will be stopped. Yeah, the disbelievers, they are gone to Jahannam. We're talking about believers now. The poor and the rich. Poor people, very quickly they've gone into Jannah. Very quickly. But nothing, what they got? They brought, he got no dunya. Like the person who came from overseas, he brought no items. You can open my bag, check. He just got his normal clothes, nothing else. He brought nothing, nothing. Carry on, don't worry. In fact, you can just see from his luggage. He's got hardly any luggage with him. One small bag. They won't even worry about him, just carry on. The fellow got 2-3 trolleys, and he's looking for somebody to take him out. You see, stand on one side. Now, what, this you got, that of dunya. How did you attain that? How did you spend your wealth? How did you gain your wealth? Halal, haram source. How much did you give to the poor? Did you give your zakat? It's a long process. Allah Ta'ala protect us. So what I'm saying, at that moment you did no sukoon. Now Sharia didn't tell you now, just become a poor person. No. Greed must not come into the person. What we have, necessary we have. It's necessary to have that. And also look after your children, your family. Sharia doesn't stop you from that. If Allah has given you ni'mat, Allah give you a good car, use it. There's no guna in it at all. Rasulullah sometimes rode a donkey, and sometimes a very precious camel also. But the explanation, don't have ujub and pride in your heart by driving that very smart car or living in a beautiful mansion. If Allah gave you, or Hazrat Ramaj will keep on saying, make use of the ni'mat Allah has given you. Allah give you a nice car, you don't lock it up in your garage, no, nobody must see this car, then what have you got that car for? Use it, but don't have pride in it. Don't think low of others. Somebody requires it, you allow the person. Don't be miserly with your things. So if you want sukoon, you have less of dunya, be able to sleep nicely at night, next morning you got no worry, and akhirat, you got no problem. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Another very common problem, and this I think almost every week this question will always come about, and that is stray thoughts. In Ramadan also we discuss waswasa. And this can eat up a person. Really. I mentioned the hadith, the incident of a sahabi. He comes to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, I'm getting such thoughts that I'm afraid to bring it on my tongue. I think I might lose my iman by even mentioning it to you. I wish I'd rather be a piece of charcoal than mentioning it. One narration, there was one sahabi came, another narration, a whole group of people came. And Rasulullah mentioned the ilaj. All these things you totally ignore. Even if it's coming in your namaz, that's the time it will come. Such thoughts that you get shocked, why is it coming to me? I must be such a bad person. A shaitan looks for the weak person. The moment he sees you now, you're worried about it and you're parishan, you can't concentrate. He wants you to discard your salat. The remedy for stray thoughts, as the Thani Rahmatullah says, in other words, wasawis, is to ignore them. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say that you're traveling on a highway and there's so many other cars going past and buses and trucks. And you don't sit and look at all those things. You just carry on driving. Don't entertain those thoughts. Don't entertain those thoughts. They'll come, they'll just go past. The moment you start worrying about it too much, that's when you'll become weak, and then shaitan will play a game with you. You'll be plagued with thoughts. Sometimes you're making wudu, and the shaitan will say, you're not making your wudu properly. You wash properly, you wash not once, twice, 3 times. 10 times you'll wash. More than 3 times is not right. You'll carry on washing your feet. You come in Salat, again, same thoughts. Shaitan will make you feel, you didn't make your wuzu properly. So what's going to happen? Your namaz, you start, you never make wuzu properly. So what's going to happen? No concentration. This thing actually eats up a person. It's very, very common. Very common. Simple. And if it becomes too heavy, Amantu billahi wa rasulih. Bas. I believe in Allah and His Rasul. Finish. In all His Rasuls. Amantu billahi wa rasulih. As it says here, the Hadith Sharif instructs us to spit thrice towards the left side without spittle. Just finish. This also indicates that they should be ignored and not given due attention. Because somebody, kufam ya. I'm not interested in you. Just like you're chasing away shaitan. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ Our Hazrat mentioned, I mentioned the other day, humorous, that but it's genuine. You try it out and see. That if a person keeps on getting thoughts that you're like this and you're like that and you're a disbeliever and you're not a mu'min and things like that, tell shaitan, very good, yeah, okay, you enjoy yourself. I'm not worried about you. You can say what you want to say. You fly kite. But as I say, don't say in front of everybody in the public. People think now you've gone mad for real. Ignore shaitan and his word. He is khannas. Shaitan is khannas. What does he do? The moment adhan, before adhan is called out, he runs away. After adhan, he comes back. He wants to interfere in your salat. Interfere in your dhikr. He wants to interfere in your tilawat. He wants you to become, feel miserable. He wants you to lose hope. He doesn't want you to concentrate on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ignore shaitan. We've got Allah with us. Allah is most powerful. So ignore the stray thoughts that a person that we get. There's so many malfozat. Which one do we select? As I mentioned once, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah says, the method of reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very common question. How do I reach Allah ta'ala? How do we get wusul ila Allah? Simple explanation gives, simple answer. He says, I have repeatedly advised students and people in general that if they become firm in two matters, as the Tani Ram says, then they will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are the two matters? Number one, discarding of sin. Now, every buzul, every sheikh, every wali of Allah, you find that they discarded sin. And all emphasize on this. You discard sin, you will get that sukoon, you get the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. You will feel the closeness of Allah Ta'ala. We are pareshan, why? Because we are not living out sins. Or we have left out only a few sins. And the others we are not prepared to leave out. Why? Because we are still getting some enjoyment out of it. Those that are easy to discard, we manage it. Okay, mashallah. But there are some sins we just can't. We can't stop watching the television. We can't stop watching the pornographic sites. We just can't do it. We can't stop casting lustful glances at women. We can't stop the ghibah. Why? We enjoy that. So until we don't discard sin, you won't reach Allah Ta'ala. The first one he says, discarding of sin. Allah give all of us tawfiq. It's easy to see, to read out the malfuz and to explain it. We don't have it. Allah give us the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala bless us with these things that we discard all sin. And number two, speaking less. The more we're going to speak, the more wrong things we are going to say. And the more we're going to regret. So many times, fights and quarrels that lasted for years was because a person blurted out something without thinking. Sometimes you find a person, he just keeps on passing a remark. You have to look at mawqa. Is it the right time to speak? What am I speaking? Is it going to be beneficial or not? If it's not going to be beneficial and not even harmful, then to ulama say you keep quiet. Yes, it's going to be beneficial, whether it's dunya benefit for the person or akhirat benefit, it's going to benefit the person, then you mention and you speak. Man samata naja, Rasulullah says, that person who remains silent, he'll gain salvation. Another hadith he says, do not speak out things that tomorrow you're going to regret. Your bosom friend, lifelong, so many years you were together, and one day you went and said something so stupid, without thinking, you spoke ill of his father, mother, or his wife, or something, and alas, he don't want to see you again. Or you're just talking with your wife and you were joking or something, and you mentioned talaq to her. Karas. Therefore, exercise full control of our tongue. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was tawil as-sukut, remaining silent for long periods of time. The more we're going to speak, it will just cause the heart to become harder. And that heart, the hard heart, is far away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these two things Hazrat says. He says, discarding of sin and speaking less. And then he says, as well as a little time spent in solitude for dhikr and fikr, remembrance of Allah and contemplation. So that is important. That we make a little bit dhikr also. Dhikr and a little bit fikr, contemplate over the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we discard sin and speak less, and when we speak, we're going to speak less, what are we going to do? Make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simple. Let's try it out, inshallah, and see how we will feel the sukoon in our heart. But we can't claim we now the walis of Allah. No. Allah knows best. Qiyamah Day will know who was a friend of Allah. Our maqsad not to get title and praise of people. Our maqsad is to pass the examination and to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is wusool ila Allah. Hazrat mentions benefit of keeping contact with the pious. Of course, we are mentioning malfuzat. Nobody is claiming any taqwa in piety. So please, we are talking about pious people. Those are different people. Here we are. Pious are sitting down. The person who is speaking is the most impious. He said, keeping contact with the pious rectifies a person's deen. The moment you join a pious person, you will find now you'll be making islah of your deen. Now you realize your namaz was not right. Your wuzu wasn't right. Your ghusl you're making so many years was not right. Now you would get the jazba, the fervor of reading Quran properly also. Your namaz will get more khushu and khudu. You're concentrating in your salat. Now you get that urge to make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by staying in the company of the pious people, what, they're going to make jokes all day? Or talk filthy things? No. Even if they joke with you or be light-hearted, it's something to bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So keeping contact with the pious rectifies a person's deen. Then Hazrat says, through this contact with a pious person, he also receives barakat, blessings in his dunya also. But, important but, he should not have the intention of receiving this worldly benefit. So by staying with the buzruq, then Allah Ta'ala will give you barakat in your dunya as well. Your deen will be islah for your deen, and of course your dunya, and Allah will give you dunya also. But as I say, that should never be your intention. That I'll travel with the buzruqan deen pious, and mashallah, Dasar Khan, we see different food and all, and I will get thrown in. No, never do that. Never go to gain dunya, barakah, that's why I'm going with this person. Then you will not get the real, you might get some dunya, but then you'll lose your akhirat. Then he gives an example, he says the person is proceeding for hajj, obviously from India. He will also visit Bombay and also experience a journey by ship. If he's traveling by ship, so he has to pass Bombay. You never saw Bombay before. Now he's going to see Bombay. But where is he going? His destination is where? Haramain Sharifin. He's going for Hajj. He's going to Mina, Muzdalifa, Arafat. That's his destination. But on route, he's going to visit Bombay. The ship will stop and he'll see Bombay, whatever it is, from wherever he's traveling. But this should not be his intention and goal. Bombay was not his intention and goal. And to enjoy whatever else the scenery is saying. The intention is Hajj. Other things are just incidental. So by remaining in the company of the pious, your maqsad is to make islah of your deen. By the way, dunya comes, well and good, but that never should be your maqsad. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of bringing these important things in our lives. That's why Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah used to say, if somebody wants to become a big wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become a shaykh and murid, then go some other khanka. But agar insan ban now, if you become a human being and learn manners and adab and etiquettes and how to live in this world, then he can come to me and then we can teach those things. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to understand. We must have that shu'ur. We must understand, realize that we have to gain the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are so many things we're doing. every single day of our life, but we have become blind to those things that we are doing. They are weaknesses on our side, shortcomings and wrongs and evils and sins. We are unable to see it and detect it. And only a person who has got some experience and is learned, then he'll detect those things and he will show us those things. Otherwise our lives will pass away and we have done so many things wrong. We have hurt so many persons' feelings. We have taken away people's wealth and properties. We are not even bothered of salat haphazard, of Quran, hardly even read. And when you read too, there's no khushu in our recitation. We're not even reading with tajweed. We have not been created just to do haphazard ibadat. And whilst we will not be able to fulfill the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and truly worship Allah ta'ala how he ought to be worshipped, that Allah ta'ala is so ghafur rahim, he'll overlook our mistakes. But we have to be sincere. We must have that ikhlas. And the main thing is, this little few things we are learning is to change our and reform ourselves. First, we should worry about ourselves. Try and implement these things so that I can change my life and I can become a better human being, a better believer, a better ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.